Well, good morning. It is wonderful to be here with you all today. This year, we've been on a journey together, a year living intentionally in God's presence through the Psalms. Along the way, we've explored what it means to dwell with Him, to stand amazed, to be curious, to hold on to hope, and to be vulnerable before God. And now, as we turn the page into June, we continue with a new focus on faithfulness, a theme that'll carry us deeper still into the beauty of the Psalms. Just last week, Trey and I were on Hilton Head Island celebrating our 32nd wedding anniversary. Yeah. Hilton Head is where we honeymooned many years ago, and we love to go back. In recent years, we've enjoyed staying at the Inn in Sea Pines, which overlooks the Harbor Town golf course. And you may recognize this image on the screen, because if you stand on the stairs of the golf club and you look through, you can see the iconic view of the lighthouse that is right there. A couple years ago, Trey and I took a walk over into Harbor Town to have a light dinner. It was the first night that we had gotten in. Rain started to come, and if you know the way storms are down in the low country, they come in hard and they come in fast. It wasn't just a little bit of rain, it wasn't just a drizzle, it was absolute buckets of rain. We were already halfway back to the inn, so we just decided we just got to go for it. We've just got to run. So laughing and absolutely drenched, we started to run. I mean, I'm in flip-flops. Those of you who know me, they're wedge flip-flops, and they are sliding all over the place, and we are just absolutely, you could wring us right out. All of a sudden, as we're walking, we see this little golf hut right in the middle of the parking lot. In that moment, nothing was going to stop us. Our eyes were on that hut. That is where we were going. We headed there. We ran. We huddled in that little golf hut, raindrops literally falling off of my eyelashes, just hoping for a stray golf towel that might be in there to dry our faces. There was no stray golf towel. Later we did, after taking a little bit of a break, no, the rain did not let up. We did make it back to the inn. We were laughing. It's actually one of our favorite memories. Two empty nesters laughing like little kids, running in the rain, seeking refuge for warmth and shelter. But life, as you know, throws storms that are far more difficult. One moment, everything seems steady. The next, the sky is darkened, the wind picks up, and you're caught in a storm that you never saw coming. A health scare, a financial blow, a fracture in a relationship. Suddenly, you're standing on shaky ground, and you're wondering, what will shelter me? What will hold me up when everything else falls apart? Psalm 62, attributed to David, speaks to that kind of storm. It doesn't promise us a life free from wind and waves, but it promises us the rock that cannot be moved. Psalm 62, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the lowborn are but a breath, the highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love, and you reward everyone according to what they have done. Psalm 62 is a psalm for unsteady hearts. Psalm 62 invites us into the strength of our living God. Just like Trey and I ran for shelter for that little hut, eyes fixed on the only thing that could shelter us, we do the same in life's storms. We scramble to find something to hold on to. But Psalm 62 reminds us the real refuge is not in something we find, but it's in someone we return to. As we move through this psalm together, I'm going to invite us to look at five specific invitations that show themselves to us in the passage. The first one, right in verse 1, inviting us to rest, to pause in God's presence. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. We'll see it again in verse 5. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. That phrase, to find rest, means silence. But it's not just the silence that's an absence of noise. It's the kind of stillness that settles over you when you've stopped striving, when you know that you're safe, when you can let go of frantic thoughts and that desire to fix, that desire to control. It's not an empty silence. It's quiet. It's full of trust. It's like your soul is waiting, not because you're being passive or you're being indifferent, but because your soul deep down knows that it will be God who acts on your behalf. This isn't the rest of someone relaxing on vacation. It's the rest of someone who has found something solid to lean on in the middle of a storm. David's not writing this from a peaceful mountaintop. His life was under pressure, political upheaval, personal betrayal. He had threats coming in on him from all sides. But David talks to himself. He preaches to his own heart, reminding himself of what he knows that is true. And he does this even when his circumstances, even when his emotions might suggest otherwise. It's something many of us need to practice. In moments of fear or pressure, our natural instinct is to scramble, to grasp for control, to try and fix something right away, right now. But Psalm 62 calls us back. Not to do more, but to pause, to lean into God's presence, to rest more deeply in who he is. It's not casual language, it's the language of safety, of permanence, a rock that does not erode. God is not pictured here as an assistant to us, a helpful assistant. He's the whole foundation. He's the rock, the fortress, the salvation. And because of that, David can say with confidence, I will not be shaken. So we begin here with this invitation to pause in God's presence. But what often becomes clear when we do pause in God's presence, we realize that life is still pressing in on us. The storm doesn't always disappear just because we've chosen to trust God. The challenges, they often remain. And that's where David leads us next. He shows us that pausing in God's presence, resting in him, does not mean escaping from life's difficulties. It means learning to stand firm in the middle of the storm. That's our second invitation of Psalm 62, to persist through pressures. He's asking us to pause in God's presence, to persist through pressures. Verses 3 and 4 talk about those pressures that David was facing. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. David paints a very striking picture here. He sees himself as a wall that's already cracked, a fence that's already swaying in the wind, and the enemies keep on pushing on him. We don't know exactly what he's talking about. Maybe political rivals, maybe personal betrayal that's going on. But most of us, not all of us, we know the feeling. We know what it's like to be knocked around by life, to feel vulnerable, to feel exposed, to feel like just one more push and I just might collapse. And here's the beauty in David's honesty. He names that brokenness. He doesn't deny it. He doesn't minimize it. He doesn't slap a spiritual band-aid over it. He brings it into his worship. So often when we're disappointed and people let us down, we go inside of ourselves. We try to hide. We try to make sure everybody thinks that we're doing okay. We pretend that everything's just fine. And oftentimes bitterness will take root. But Psalm 62 models something different. We can tell the truth about our pain while still anchoring our hope in God. We're going to pause in his presence, persist through the pressures, not because life has calmed down, but precisely because it hasn't. It gives us permission to stand firm, even when it feels like the ground is shifting. Up to this point, it's been deeply personal for David, my soul, my rest, my salvation. But now the camera widens out. David turns outward. He's speaking not just to himself, but he's speaking to the gathered people of God. And here comes his third invitation, pour out what's hidden. Verse 8, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. This verse, this part of the passage, it serves as what's called a hinge moment. It swings the door open, taking what David knows to be true about God, and it's extending all of that out for the whole community of faith to hear. It's like he's saying, don't just let this be my story. Let this be your story, too. Trust in him at all times, not just when the path is clear, not just when life feels under control. Trust him in the middle of the mess. Trust him when your knees are shaking, when your voice is quivering, when your heart feels like it hurts behind the ribs in your chest. And here, the third invitation of pouring that out to him means tell him the fears that you haven't said out loud. Tell him the questions that you're afraid to ask. The grief that you've tucked away so deeply because you want to stay strong for someone else. Is there anything in your life that you don't want to say because you think you're going to jinx yourself? We knock on wood and we say, no, I can't say that because if I say that, it's going to happen. Or if I say that, it's not going to happen. I want it so bad, I can't say it because then it's not going to happen. But to pour out is to stop editing. It's to linger in God's presence enough to let those hidden things rise up to the surface, not for display, but for healing. And why can you do that? Why can we pour out? Because God is our refuge. This is one of our quiet strengths of our theology, of our faith. Our theology invites us to be truth tellers before God. We don't have to manage our emotions. We don't have to suppress our doubt. We can bring our whole selves, mess and all, into the presence of a holy and merciful God. Remember the hinge. We're moving from it being personal to David to it being communal. He tells us, you people. Dietrich Bonhoeffer reminds us, the physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer. We are meant to live this journey side by side. Yes, community will stretch us. We will grow through it. It will feel real because faith is lived together and not alone. In a world that prizes self-reliance, Psalm 62 reminds us you are not meant to carry it all alone. And David knows something else about the human heart. Even as we do pour out what's hidden, we're constantly tempted to look to other places for our security. And this is where David leads us next. After calling us to trust God fully, he offers a word of caution, a reminder not only where to put our trust, but where not to put our trust. So here comes our fourth invitation. Place no hope in the perishable. Pause in God's presence. Persist through pressure. Pour out what's hidden. Place no hope in the perishable. In verses 9 and 10, we hear, surely the lowborn are but a breath, the highborn but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. David's naming the great temptation of every generation, the belief that human power or social status or material security can save us, that if we just had a little bit more, we'd finally be okay. But here's what David says, whether you come from humble beginnings or from high society, whether you have a little bit or whether you have much, when placed on the scales, the weight is the same. A vapor, a mist, a breath, like that breath that you puff out in the cold air, and quickly, almost immediately, it disappears. Scripture is telling us, don't place your hope in what is perishable. It's not meant to shame us, it's meant to free us. It's meant to pull us back from putting the weight on our own shoulders. David goes further, though your riches increase, don't set your heart on them. Notice that he didn't say you can't have wealth or success. But he warns against setting your heart there. It's not the possession that's the actual problem. It's the misplaced affection. Anyone here is familiar with the term a rightly ordered love? It's the idea that sin isn't simply about bad behavior, but it's about good things that we love more than we should love them. Augustine puts it this way, and there's a lot here, so. A rightly ordered love, then, is one in which one does not love what ought not be loved, does not fail to love what ought to be loved, does not love too much what ought to be loved less, and does not love too little what ought to be loved more. A rightly ordered love does not love too much what ought to be loved less, and does not love too little what ought to be loved more. Our problem is disordered affection. It's not that we love bad things. It's that we love temporary things more than we love eternal things. Now, having been in family ministry for many years, joy of my life, and knowing and loving students and just celebrating what the next generation is bringing to our community and our world of faith, I'm going to use some of their most recent language. I'm sure y'all have been hearing these things online and hearing people say different things, so I'm gonna try one out on y'all to kind of educate you on some language slang that this generation is saying. So let me tell you this. This is where David, this is where I would say he's going to land the plane. Like, that sounds normal to us. But what I'm going to say today is this is where David puts the fries in the bag. This is where he puts the fries in the bag, you know, the last thing that goes in the bag. That's the final thing. Here you go. He puts the fries in the bag. And he plants his life firmly on what he knows to be true. God's power, God's promise. That's the fifth invitation. Plant your life on God's power and God's promise. It's as if David is saying, let me sum it all up for you. This is what I know for sure. God is strong. God is good. God is loving. He is all of that. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love, and you reward everyone according to what they've done. David is not just describing God as a helper. He's declaring God as sovereign. God is not limited to time or to space or to circumstances. His power is not delegated or borrowed. It belongs to him, and he rules over all. The love, the unfailing love that he's talking about is the love that chooses you, even when you wander. The love that keeps promises, even when you don't. It's the love that brought Jesus to the cross. Now, that last line, you reward everyone according to what they have done. Is David slipping into works righteousness here? He's not. It isn't a rejection of salvation by grace. It's a reminder that our choices matter, that our lives are not meaningless, that faith in a strong and loving God bears fruit in how we live. It's the ongoing work of God within us, transforming us to look more and more like Jesus. Psalm 62 is not at its heart a call to do more. It's a reminder that we are held by God who's already done what we could never do for ourselves. At the center of our faith is not our grip on God, but it's God's grip on us. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are our refuge and our strength, our steady place in a world that often feels unsteady. You know the burdens we carry, the fears we whisper only to ourselves, and the longings we hold deep in our hearts. Teach us to rest in you, not because life is simple, but because you are faithful. Teach us to trust you, not only in the calm, but in the moments when the winds rise and that path is unclear. Draw us to the center of your promise, where we remember that you are strong and you are loving, and you will never let us go. And we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, our Savior and our Shepherd. Amen.